Hello, everybody. It's July 1st, 2013, and you're listening to episode 39 of Free to Play, NitroBeard.com's flagship video game podcast. I am Brian Belita, also joined by Mark Bradshaw.
Rogue Legacy, Rogue Legacy, Rogue Legacy, Rogue Legacy, Rogue Legacy.
It Rogue Galaxy? And also Matt Pierce.
Hello. I thought you were going to say your name at some point, Imran.
Imran Khan is Rogue Galaxy.
Yes.
I saw that. I kept seeing that. Like at some point, because I just my Steam friends list right now is just everybody's playing Rogue Legacy, and I'm jealous. I need to be playing it.
There's this weird thing, like one person starts playing Rogue Legacy, and then everyone on your friends list realizes right. They're not now playing Rogue Legacy.
So they're not currently at this time playing Rogue Legacy.
The only way to rectify that is to immediately start Rogue Legacy.
Yeah.
I'm still like, the urge to call it Rogue Galaxy is so crazy overwhelming.
What was Rogue Galaxy?
Rogue Galaxy was a not very good level 5 JRPG for the PS2.
Okay.
And I don't know why, like, maybe I'm just game dyslexic.
No, it happens.
At least you're not doing Rogue Squadron.
That's entirely different.
Rogue Squadron was pretty good. No, wait, no, it was. No, it was I'm thinking of the Star Wars one where you play a stormtrooper, or
about Dark Forces.
No, it wasn't Dark Forces.
Republic Commando.
Republic Commando. No.
Yes.
Yes.
Also, TIE Fighter. You're playing a stormtrooper and a TIE fighter.
Totally not even close to the name that I was thinking of.
Yeah, Rogue Squadron was...
It was the N64 flight shooter.
Yes.
Chats for a while before whoever those guys were decided to go bankrupt.
Vector 5.
Remember when joysticks were like the craze?
Yeah, I had one for TIE fighter.
Yeah. My brother and I used to get mad into flight sims and stuff. Well, my brother more than me. I more so just downloaded like supercars that would fly in the air for Microsoft Flight Simulator and just did spectacular feats of dumbfoundedness.
Well, remember when like they actually made stuff like Flight Simulator and like X-Wing? And like I guess they just got tired of making money or like people handing them money because those games made money.
They made a new Microsoft Flight Simulator. I thought just recently.
They did.
I think there was like legally.
It had sort of free to play elements, I want to say.
Yep.
Yeah.
Also achievements.
Well, that's fine. I mean, you know, get your pilot's license or something.
Or achievement unlocked, join Zynga.
Right. Zing.
Zynga.
Nope. Yep. So that's the thing that happened today. Mr. Don Matrick.
Donnie Matt.
This is the first I heard about this, so I'm going to assume we're talking about Don Matrick, the guy who made a complete ass of himself.
Yeah, the guy who just went on stage to introduce the Xbox One for E3. Like, the head of Xbox.
The head of the Microsoft Entertainment
Microsoft,
Division.
Right, Xbox Division. Or
and the guy who probably went into a huge shit fit the moment that they announced that the DRM was going to be stripped from the system.
Possibly. I don't know. From seeing people on Twitter talk about it throughout the day, I got the impression that this is something that was sort of maybe in the works already for a while.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way you hire a CEO
right,
on
just
it.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't think it was in the works because they apparently have no plan. What? And I feel like
a replacement for him.
Right, it's just Ballmer has just taken over the entertainment division.
Well, at least in the works.
Not in the works as in Don, like, and Don Matt. Yeah, Don Matrick didn't look at that and then go like, well, that's it, I'm out of here.
And the best job he could get was Zynga.
No, I don't think it was, that's it, I'm out of here. I think they were politely showing him the door.
I can believe that, yeah.
Zynga's overpaying for his position because they want to show they're on the upswing.
Yeah,
and they're paying way too much
they're not
wildly unpopular guy be their CEO.
He's not wild, like within the business world, sure, but are not.
Well, for the gaming community, you mean, yeah.
Yeah, but what does Zynga care about the gaming community?
He wasn't wildly unpopular when they started courting him, I'm sure.
I feel like this whole thing has been in the works for maybe 2 weeks.
In other news, you're now going to have to connect to the internet once a day to verify your Farmville account or all your sheep will be slaughtered.
I think you have to be logged into Facebook anyway, so I think that's a moot point.
It's a good point, is what that is.
Thank you. And maybe that's why he saw. He saw, you know, fuck this. I cannot live in a world
without
people may be playing their games without being hooked in. I'm going to Zynga. Fuck all y'all.
He had an entire policy initiative reversed. And I don't think he can stay CEO and have that happen.
Yeah, no. I mean, that was his entire thing. Like, how can he stay around if they decide that his idea was stupid and destructive and they had to abandon it? We're sorry.
Right. They needed a fresh start. A rolling fresh start. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Oh man, real quick, Mark and I played video game golf.
I saw that.
Yep.
You're both terrible.
No, well, I'm terrible. Brian made at least par.
I came out exactly at par for those 9 holes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm terrible because, you know, I looked exactly the wrong direction a couple times.
Yes, you did put the ball at a 90-degree vector to the hole.
It was space golf. I thought maybe that could work. You don't know. It could be
No. So we, if you go to netrebrew.com, you'll see we play golf ? Which I've talked about multiple times on, I think, the cast, and also posted about on the site. I want that game to happen so bad, and we need to get Matt and Imran, you guys, to play it as well, so we can do a round of speed golf. Because that is just insane fun.
Can that support like 4 people at the same time?
Oh yeah. I think 4 is the max. I don't even know if there is a max, but I'm pretty sure you can do 4 people.
One thing I wish it just committed fully to being like crazy space golf stuff, because the only board that I can remember seeing that had the bouncy panels was like the first
hole. Well, I mean, this is just a very early, you know, Alex, the guy at Cryptos, he hasn't worked on it. He's working on other things kind of headlong. So this is kind of a project that's on the back burner. So they're more just toying around. I mean, we weren't even playing a public build. I mean, he sent that to me specifically just because I keep bugging him about the game because I really want a full on version of it.
And also, developers, if you're listening, I'm telling you, the rocket launcher thing would be great. No one has combined like combat carts and golf yet. You could own that market.
Well, I mean, this at least has, you know, just kind of car-to-car combat, just ramming into each other and stuff. So there's that. But yeah, so go check that out. It was fun. I really hope we can get some Nitro Beard Speed golf games going, because that would be a lot of fun to stream and get people in on. Yep, sorry about the crying baby in the background. He's got like 8 teeth coming in at this moment.
The crying baby is also upset with golf.
So. And Don Matrick. Yeah. You broke my heart.
I think it's the Don Matrick thing, it actually kind of fitting. I think a one scumbag deserves a scumbag organization. So yeah, that's great. I think that works out quite well.
I saw some gross statistic that was like the average, you know, regular worker income has increased like, you know, whatever percent, just a couple percent a year, whereas like CEO salaries have skyrocketed 875%.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyways, in other site news, also go check out the Last of Us spoiler cast that Imran and Mark and they brought on Pedro Huzino, or I guess he goes by Pete.
And he goes by Javier.
Javier. He goes by Javier.
Pretty sure his last name is it Huzino.
Huzino.
Yes.
But just go on being racist there, Brian.
Yeah, good job.
How is that racist? That's how he spells it. I've seen it, and I just don't know how to pronounce it.
Uh-huh.
How many Koreans do you know?
Look, man, I played plenty of free Korean MMOs. But no, him and then I'm blanking on the other guy's name, and I'm sorry for that.
Joe Malta,
thank you. I was trying to say Sincero, but that's his Twitter account, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. So you should go listen to that, and I can't listen to that because I really want to play The Last of Us.
You can't listen to the first 3 minutes.
I do not know when I'm going to get a chance to play The Last of Us.
Do you have a PS3, right?
It's broken, and I haven't had the time or, I guess, resources to get it fixed or buy a new one. I don't know. I'm hoping for some, I don't know, maybe it'll be on the PS4 or something somehow in some magical world.
That would be such a weird thing that I'm absolutely expecting them to do, is just take so many of these games from this iteration and just making 1080p versions.
Yeah.
I can totally see that
versions
happening.
That load in reasonable amounts of time.
Yeah.
Like, I'll bet you money that Square Enix they're going to just put the high-res texture pack on Sleeping Dogs and put all the DLC in there and sell it again.
Yeah.
or at least like Saints Row the Third, give the console people an opportunity to play that thing on something that goes faster in like 15 frames a second.
Is that what speed The Last of Us runs at?
No, the Saints Row.
The Last of Us doesn't have a great frame rate, though.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Yeah.
It's so also just freaking gorgeous. So I'm not sure what else they could do with the PS4 because it's probably the best looking PS3 game. Although Aaron said that, and I was convinced they were going to do that for the longest time with Shadow of the Colossus. And it took them forever to get that thing out on the PS3.
So. I think they were just waiting for. It was going to be marketing synergy with the what was it, Last Guardian?
Yeah,
and that never came out, so they just decided to release it.
Yeah,
because I mean, clearly they were waiting for something.
Yeah,
and that makes the most sense.
Right, right. Also, man, so I'm looking at this article about Don Matrick and Zynga and stuff, and being on the short list of top execs being considered to run EA and stuff. And no. I posted a video today on the site about an Ouya game called The Amazing Frog.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a question mark at the end. Yeah, the Ouya. And
so is this Ouya exclusive, or
I think it is
going to come with something you actually
I think it is. I would really like to play this game because it sort of reminds me of a actually free roaming version of Pain, if anyone remembers that PSN game. It was a game where you just fling a bodies through the air, just, you know, a person, and they ragged on. You do as much damage as humanly possible.
Oh, yeah. So, like, you had, like, the stairway and everything, you threw them down, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, no. You're thinking of, I think, one of the old, like, freeware stairway games dismount. Called Stair Dismount. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyways, so this game comes out, and it looks hilarious. And the first thing that I thought of was aquatic games.
I wish it wasn't on you, yeah. But the second thing
And the second thing I thought was that it reminded me of the old Genesis game, Aquatic Games, in which you played a frog doing various Olympic events.
Wait, so was that James Pond Olympic Games?
No, that's what I thought it was, but I think
James Pond was a fish.
Yeah, James Pond was a fish.
Yeah, that's confusing me.
They're very similar. But anyway, so I looked up a video for Aquatic Games, and, you know, it's this wacky game about, like, you know, mashing buttons to make your frog run across the water and jump, and there are a whole bunch of events, and it was an EA game. Like that little, you know, their little old logo with the three shapes, or maybe it was just two shapes.
Oh.
I want to say there were three, but anyways, you know, showed up at the arena, and I just thought of EA back then making a goofy game about amphibians competing in Olympic events, and EA now. I want that old EA back.
Nope.
Screw you.
I want Call of Duty fish dogs Olympic.
the EA that just did fun goofy stuff is gone. It is now replaced with the version of everyone that got replaced when Call of Duty came out, and everything's like super serious and gritty, and no one can have any fun. What EA chased.
Did you guys see that? Like, there was some quote from some Origin or EA exec that said Origin's going to go back to its roots of being for gamers. And I'm not aware of a time that that ever was a true thing.
Yeah, it's like they think that the problem with Origin was that it was. Well, I'm not even sure what they're trying to say it became. Because they described what it was going back to, and it's like, isn't that all it is?
That's what
a place where you can buy games and also have, like, basically a friend managing service.
Maybe they mean, like, Origin is going to go back to being a developer making games that you actually want to play. Maybe
no, they were really explicit. Like, it's going to be a way to play games with your friends online and buy EA games.
Wait a minute, I know this. It's called a PC, and we can do this already.
Yeah.
Using your PC.
Well, not only that, but Origin does that. So what is it moving away from that nobody was using?
Giving the 15% to Steam? That's the entire point of Origin.
I'm just waiting.
I mean, let's not have this point where we're, like, questioning what Origin's about, because everybody knows what it's about. It's EA wanting a piece of that pie.
Does anyone actually know what Origin's about? Because it would require somebody using Origin. We don't know what's going on over there right now. It could be,
that's exactly the thing. Like, they say, we're going back to our roots, and then they say what they're doing, and it's like, wait, what are you not doing now that you're going back to your roots?
That's what I'm because saying.
I thought I read something further that they're, like, you know, improving friend stuff on the system, but I don't know. I mean, I I downloaded and installed Origin because, I don't know, I was hoping for maybe a rad deal on Mass Effect 3 or something so I could finally play it.
Well, I think it was I think they bribed everyone with a free game like a year ago or something. Like,
that was because they had, the snafu, I remember they gave away free games because of the SimCity launch.
Before then, it was like when it first launched, there could be some kind of free game.
Yeah, maybe they did have something like that.
Yeah. Maybe also unhappy with Origin.
Yeah. Yeah.
But back to the Don Matrick thing, but just seems odd that
we're just going to keep going back to that.
Yeah, we are.
No, let's be done with Don Matrick.
His one good idea was so toxic that it nearly destroyed the Xbox brand. So you got to hire that dude.
I mean, again, what does Zynga care?
Yeah.
They want a popular face on there.
Zynga doesn't really have much to lose other than maybe more people.
Well, me going back, I obviously upset baby, so we'll leave.
Yeah.
When's the last time anyone has used Origin? Anyone here use it like within the past 6 months?
I think I did to play Shank 2.
Okay.
Yes. Yep. It's all a Korean Valve alternate reality game. Over to you, Imran.
That there's some weird Valve thing that might involve Korean, and no one's sure if it's an ARG or not, and Gabe Newell said it's not.
Tap Y 3, then, right?
I don't know. They might be liars, or this could be nothing.
So
there's an equal possibility of both.
Involves Korea in what way?
So Half-Life 2 got an update that, like, it added multiple languages, but when people booted it, it was just, like, the entire game was in Korean for some reason. Like, it didn't really give you an option. And then, all of a sudden, there was a Team Fortress 2 related DLC for Surgeon Simulator 2013 that when you picked up an item and, like, looked underneath it, there was weird Korean writing and, like, what appeared to be a solar map.
Like, so, Korean, like, astrology or something? Or,
well, I assume the two didn't really have anything to do with each other.
Okay.
Because, the language was Korean and then there was some sort of map.
Yes.
Interesting. Valve does crazy shit.
They do. And this could be nothing. And I hope it's, like, I hope it's just, you know, we're watching Steam in Korea because then everyone will have gotten all hyped up for nothing.
What I hope it is some sort of, like, promo or, you know, tie-in with, I don't know, whenever the Steam summer sale comes around. Like, that'll be one of the badges if you can read this Korean.
No, it's like all the games will be on sale, but it's always the Korean version. You can't get the English versions on sale.
That is one way to solve the problem of I don't want anything in this Steam sale because I already own all this.
I don't own
it in Korean.
I don't own it in Korean.
It might be way different in Korean.
Which actually, while I am looking forward to the Steam sale, looking at Amazon's preview of their sale, I'm like, there's nothing really here I want because I own everything that I want to play.
Yeah, like I want to like get Metro: The Last Light. I don't want to pay $50 for it, so hopefully that drops like $30. And I don't know. It's really difficult. I guess Devil May Cry. Like I don't want to pay a lot of money for that. So maybe that.
I mean, yeah. I don't know, man. Speaking of like things you want to play and stuff, I'm at a point right now. Like nothing is really holding my interest right now, and I don't know if that's because I don't think like I can invest all the time to play something like The Witcher 2, which I finally booted up the other day. But I already feel myself drifting away from it because I just don't think I can come back to it frequently enough to and put enough time into it to really, I don't know. It's weird. I'm just not buying anything right now.
I mean, we're in the doldrums right now.
That's true.
So if you've been keeping up with games up to this point, like if you've played Bioshock Infinite and all that stuff, there's nothing for you right now.
That's another thing I need to play. My interest is leaning more towards games with short bites. Like I really want to pick up MagRunner Pulse or MagRunner Dark Pulse, I think it is. But I also don't want to spend any money right now. So I'm just going through my library, seeing what I do own. It's like, okay, maybe I can play through this and beat this. Maybe I can play through this and beat this. Of course, the new Magic game came out, and my brother and friends have just been suckering me into playing that all the time. So it doesn't matter anyways.
I was planning to finish Tomb Raider and then head back to Mass Effect 3, finally. But those plans are toast, along with my Xbox 360.
Oh, no.
Man. It died?
Oh yeah, it red ringed.
Are you still under warranty or?
Nope.
Like the red ring warranty should be like 3 years.
I know.
Still, wow.
Microsoft, when you register your Xbox, you put in your serial number, and they'll be able to tell you if that serial number is still under warranty, and it's not.
I got it's had your system ever red ring before? Like this first time? Oh wow! Is it one of the original ones? Like the old design?
It is an original. Yeah, it's an original design. I'm not sure which model.
Okay. Yeah, I think there's like probably like 100% failure rate on all those before they redesigned it.
Yep. So I've kind of just decided that I'm not replacing it.
Yeah.
I'm selling off my games and
this late in the generation, there's no point.
Yeah.
I figure if I sold some games to some people for cheap online, some people that I know in real life, and the rest of them I'll sell to GameStop along with the broken console because they'll give you a 35 for it. They'll give you 35 for it because they can then turn around and sell the wireless controller and the power supply
for $80.
I think if you like take all the parts, they can get like $50 out of it.
Yeah,
it's not so bad.
No, I mean, you're getting more than you would otherwise. I mean, no one else is going to buy a broken Xbox.
Yeah, that's a video game for a system you can actually play things on.
Yeah.
So in the end, I think I'll probably be looking at like $120 maybe.
Which is not bad.
No, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, I only have like a 10-game collection for 360.
I should see what I can do with my PS3.
Yeah. What's that?
I was going to say it's an original. I mean, it's a, you know, an original 60 gig with the old backwards compatibility and stuff.
The big one.
Yeah.
If you send it to Sony, they would just send you a new one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
So. Which kind of sucks, which is, I hope something that's going to, I mean, I don't know what they could possibly take out next generation, but that, like, they don't get enough shit for the fact that they removed backwards compatibility. And if you paid for that feature, you're screwed once the life of that console is over.
Yeah.
On the upside, though, the PS2 is pretty damn reliable.
Man, you know,
probably the only reliable thing they ever made. Like the PS2.
If you want to play PS2 games with progressive scan, your only options are a PS3 or emulating it.
Yeah.
So, speaking of console sturdiness, I was cleaning out my closet and kind of my home office, and so I found like all my PSP games, my original PSP, and I just kind of, you know, pulled it out. I tried to turn it on. Nothing happens. I hadn't, you know, opened it up or turned it on in God knows how many years. Definitely years, multiple years. And then I found my DS Lite as well. And the same thing. I haven't turned that thing on in years. And I turned it on, and it still had, like, a full charge.
That's what I love about the old Nintendo handhelds. Like, there was this one time when the winter before, I put my DS SP, not DS, but like Game Boy Advance SP, mm-hmm. like in my winter coat, and just completely forgot it was there until like the next winter came around. I put it on, and I reached in my pocket, and there was my SP still in standby mode where I closed it before with like Metroid Prime, not Metroid Prime, but the Fusion still
right,
in
right.
it.
That's pretty
point.
Awesome.
One time I left my Wavebird on when I went on vacation, and it came back, and it was still working.
That's kind of remarkable. Good. Yeah. But then like Nintendo said, well, we're kind of done with battery life now. So you have to plug in your 3DS every night or your
battery life has not improved since then.
Yeah.
So running a GBA is a little different than running a 3DS.
Yeah, and it's also using more power.
It is, but it's also using like the same like size battery that they've been doing since the DS. I think you really could have made that just a little bit bigger.
They did, and you don't have that system.
Yeah, that is a good point. Well, no, I don't have the XL. You're right. I just have the regular one.
The one thing, like, I love my 3DS XL, but the one thing is that it's creaky. Like, I feel like it's flimsy. Like, the springs and the hinge, like, you know, flaps around a little bit. And, you know, and there's, like, this little creak whenever I'm pressing the buttons on the right and stuff.
Like, they didn't thicken any of the materials to deal with the cantilever.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that.
An XL just seems like too large. Like there needs to be like a happy.
I think it's just right.
Yeah, there needs to be a happy medium between like the regular like Nintendo handhelds and like the XL version. Because like I feel like the regular one just like kind of too small for like to hold it comfortably.
We call the Nintendo 3DS just right.
Yeah, the just right, and just release that one instead of both.
I would just be happy with a big plastic grip that made the shoulder buttons usable.
You can buy a big plastic grip that makes those shoulder buttons useful.
Yeah, you can, but then you'd have to be 12 years old and on like a Fisher-Price system. Nobody's going to do that.
Yeah.
You're so judgy, Mark.
I am. And if you do own one of those things, my apologies, but there's no way you bring that thing out into public.
I don't bring my 3DS out in the public.
That's, I see them all the time on the subway. Like, I've literally seen, like, two Vitas in the wild, and, like, every day I come home and there's, like, just a stack of street passes waiting. Yeah. So, yeah, people...
Like, I sometimes wish I had, like, a moderately, you know, maybe a little bit long public transit commute that I could just sit on and, you know, play games or something.
Yeah.
Because those are usually the only times I can play my handheld. Although, I've made time for Animal Crossing.
Well, when you do have the... Lose like public transit, like commutes. You just lose all your pride and say, you know, fuck it. Here's my 3DS. Stare at me if you want. The dude over there in the suit is also using his 3DS. So you go to hell. I'm just playing.
Yeah,
these freaking Nintendo games.
I had this moment of panic when I broke out my 3DS at work. Because I was on my lunch break and I you know wanted to check what I could sell my fruit for or whatever in Animal Crossing, and you know I open it up and it's on the 3DS menu. And I see like the little street pass thing going in the upper right. And I don't know if that means it's just street pass or if it's actually trying to send a street pass or something. And we had just gotten a new hire in my office. And I was like, oh no. Oh no, she's going to get my super bearded me that is obviously Brian Belita, you know, your coworker in the office. I don't know why I had a moment of panic, but
maybe a moment
you know,
of
I just kind of, you know, don't want to.
I don't know. I think that whole concept of it being kind of shameful to play video games in public is going away. It's like people have no problem. Well, no, I understand what you're saying, but it's like people have no problem like watching movies like on their iPhone.
Anything you do with your phone is fine. Like anything.
Yeah. But the moment
you're watching porn.
Yeah. Don't do that. And if you are, hold it very close to your face.
You shouldn't do that. I'm sure there are plenty of people who manage to get away with it with headphones.
Yeah. As somebody who did used to have a long public transportation thing, people fucking watch porn on that thing.
Wait, it's not so much you watch porn. You watch, like, Game of Thrones. And, like, there's this 5-minute long scene where, like, the little finger is in a whorehouse and he has like his two girls just sitting there and just there's like people
he's
all around
them how to love.
Yeah. That's what's going on there. Sometimes this happens and you don't realize it's going to happen. So maybe it can be porn. Maybe it's sometimes just HBO.
Speaking of, you know, the using your mobile phones and playing games and stuff. And I went to get my hair cut the other day and I was just sitting in there just kind of twiddling my thumbs waiting for them to call my name. And there are two random guys, probably, I don't know, high schoolers. And the guy was just kind of, one guy was just on his phone, the other guy was on his phone. And the one guy looked up, kind of peeked over screen and looked at him and said, Candy Crush Saga? The guy went, yeah, I can't get enough of this game.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Terrible games.
I hate to be a snob about this sort of thing, but it hurts. It physically hurts to hear people. I don't want to get angry, but.
So this doesn't have anything to do with video games, but I was buying new glasses the other day, and at the glasses store, the woman was trying to upsell this other couple. She's like, you know how HDTV works?
Oh,
HD glasses are the same thing.
Oh, God.
And I just want to be like, what the fuck?
Did you hit him?
I didn't say anything because I'm not going to be that guy.
Yeah, don't take your money away from him. But Jesus, God!
HD granite countertops. It exists.
How old was this person they were talking to? Like elderly?
They were an older couple.
Yeah. That's
awful.
Because he knows he didn't tell him whatever.
If you're seeing in 1080p, you're seeing really badly.
Yeah.
Unless they're older than time. You know, they kind of have some idea of what television is and how television works.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just using the buzzword HD probably gets some people on board.
That's exactly what it is. It's just, you know, it's a catchphrase. It's a buzzword.
I guess it's still a thing for the mainstream. I thought everyone abandoned that like 3 years ago when 3D became the thing. So I guess like we're just moving back to HD. I guess like 3 years ago, you would have heard him say, "Yeah, you know how 3D works?"
Well, these. I don't think HD ever really left. I think it's just been kind of hovering there.
Well, then we're gonna get like people are gonna be super confused by 4K and all that stuff.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
I'm glad that people are actually calling it 4K because UHD was just gonna get confusing.
Oh, is that what they were gonna try to call it? UHD.
Yeah, that's actually the standard's name in like actual words, whatever.
Like, I know
4K.
I know people are going to be definitely going to be confused by OLED because they don't know how it's different from the LED buzzword they've been using,
Yeah.
which they shouldn't have been using for that really, because it's just lighting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like they were going around calling LCD TVs CCD LCDs.
Oh God, yeah. Well,
TV manufacturers are short-sighted. They're trying to sell out whatever the next big thing is, and then once the thing after that comes, it's already going to be confusing. And no one's going to want to upgrade to OLED if they think they already have a decent screen in an LED.
until they can get OLED TVs down under $10,000 for a 15-inch, they're not going to sell any of them anyway.
Well, I think that's going to happen in the next 2 years, probably.
That's been the prediction for the past 5 years.
Well, eventually it's got to happen.
Something's got to give.
Yeah.
Because the TV market is everyone who wants one. There's no big rush to buy new TVs. There's no big HD revolution again.
Yeah, right. They don't need them because they're going to be missing out
Well,
on X or Y feature.
I have no evidence to back this up, but I think a lot of people were burned back when they first bought their HD TVs, and they like got these 720p systems, and then like six weeks later they realized that there was something called 1020p, and they were completely boned because they got them too fast. So
Oh,
now nobody's gonna
you
buy
bought an
anything.
HD set? You didn't buy a full HD set?
Yeah, sorry about that, but you can buy this new television set. So I think the industry just keeps fucking itself over by doing this. Then like 2 years later, oh, you gotta buy this 3D TV because your rest of your TVs are now shit.
And the 3D TV didn't take off, and I don't think smart TV is gonna be a big thing either.
Well, smart TV was supposed to be a big thing when Google TV came out, and like nobody bought that crap either. So nobody wants to do the whole like internet on your TV thing. We have tablets for that.
See, well, they're in the odd space where people who will buy those TVs when they want to buy a new TV, they'll buy a smart TV because that's the current best.
Right.
But
They're not
there's
buying it
no like,
specifically for that.
yeah, there's no rush to get into that sort of thing.
And even then, a lot of people aren't going to buy that because they're just going to go for whatever the cheap TV is.
Yeah, I'm going to buy a Westinghouse for like $300. I'm sorry.
It may have a contrast ratio of like 2 to 1,
I don't care. I could use my money for other things, like more
black
video.
is the new gray.
Because I've been considering buying, like, I have a 720p set, and now that games are coming, like, with PS4 and Wii U, there's going to be 1080p games. I'm like, maybe it's time for me to finally actually upgrade. But it's that weird thing that, like, wait a second, I'm going to be spending $900 to go, like, get essentially just double the pixels, and that's stupid.
Yeah, to like replace something that you already have that works pretty fine.
Well, and I don't know what your setup is, Imran. I mean, do you play like at your desk, like your console games, or do you have like a couch and a TV?
I have a TV next to my desk.
Okay. And I mean, when you're like that close, like that much extra isn't really gonna,
See, I
affect
still
you.
do everything on a monitor. Like I never broke down and bought an HD TV. I probably never will because I don't watch cable, except when Game of Thrones or Battlestar. If
Right.
Battlestar Galactica ever came back on again, I'd watch that. But if it's not, I'm never watching TV again.
Does your
So,
monitor support HDMI?
yeah, it does.
Oh, then yeah, you might not ever buy another TV.
Yeah, I don't want to get rid of the monitor I have because it has like composite connections in it too, so I can pretty much hook anything I want into it. But no one makes this type of monitor anymore with like all these connections. So, I don't know. And it's,
All right.
TVs are dumb.
Let's take a break.
Let's do it. All right, I've been playing things or trying to play things.
What? Really? What?
I've been trying. I already mentioned The Witcher 2. And it already I already like it much better than The Witcher 1, which just
It's a much better game.
yeah, it is.
So are you playing with gamepad? Because I was trying to play it with using like keyboard and mouse, and I just could not get into it at all. Like,
I'm not, but I think we usually differ in that matter. I'm well versed in my keyboard foo mark.
I just can't get into it. I don't know what it was about that
I
game.
can see why it might be a little easier, but I don't know. I can work fine with the keyboard and stuff, so I'm just using that. And like mechanically, the actual the game mechanics seem really neat as far as the combat goes. There's a lot though. Like, there's a lot to remember with all your different signs and you know, putting oils on your sword and drinking potions and stuff.
Yeah, my solution to that was just ignore most of it.
Can you? Were you okay doing that?
I mean, occasionally I'll run into a situation where, like, well, I need to do something different because what I've been doing so far is not working.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I made this.
They did this through all those concepts at you during the tutorial instead of, like, trying to ease you into them. And that was I was very overwhelmed with that.
Yeah.
Isn't Polish. Witcher 2 the one where the beginning part of it is significantly harder than the rest of it because you're just thrown into multi-opponent battles?
Yep.
I mean, the very first people you fight is, like, two guys standing beside a cannon. And if you're not playing smartly, you can't beat those two guys. Yeah. But at the end of the game, you're a walking death machine. But that part of the game, you need to know how much you can handle, and
it was interesting that I played through the tutorial, and it's interesting that they kind of tailor it, like, depending on how many people you can handle, they'll kind of suggest, okay, you should play on normal, or you should play on easy, you should play on hard.
That was not there at the beginning.
No, I guess it's in the enhanced edition or whatever, which is what I have and I am playing. So I think I'm going to try. I really want to like it. I really want to like it. I don't know. Just this past week, I've just been like, maybe I'll load up this. Want to play that.
The people who are into Witcher 2 are super into Witcher 2. So yeah,
right.
I'm kind of the same way.
I hope that I don't have to be like super gung-ho into it and Fandango with all the mechanics and the potions and stuff. I kind of just want to slash my sword and cast some spells and kill some guys.
Put it on like the easiest difficulty.
I think that's what I'm going to end up doing at this point.
It's still a decent challenge, even if like...
Right.
Because most of it's going to be just going on quests, and that game is not necessarily combat-oriented.
No. Well, exactly. And even if it is, I think I'd still be doing the same things in combat and still enjoying doing those things. So I'm going to try that. Man, that intro cinematic with the guy that climbs up on the boat and stuff... Yeah. That was fucking rad.
I want to play that game. I want to be that guy.
I want to be I want to be Bluto Assassin's Creed, basically.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. So I've been trying to play that, and when I haven't been playing that, I've been playing the new Magic iteration, the new Steam release of Magic: The Gathering.
So how is that?
Magic 2014. It's good. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty much almost exactly the same. The menus look different.
Yeah.
You get this.
I hope the UI has improved because the last UI was just mess.
It's a little better. It's moderately better.
So more decks this time around, it seems like?
Well, there are different decks. They're obviously holding back so they can release some expansions and stuff. Mm-hmm. And this actually has like a goofy campaign with cinematics that look like they're 90s era CG. It's that's pretty magic. Amazing.
Yeah, that's a magic shit for you.
It is pretty magic. They make it really hard at first. Like, they almost force you to buy and unlock an entire deck if you actually want to beat like the first campaign thing.
But then they
took away they've been doing this apparently over the last three iterations of the game. They've like removed game modes.
Yeah.
So like Magic 2012, I think, had some game mode that could be like 2v1.
Yeah.
And then, and that wasn't in Magic 2013 or the new one, 2014. And then in Magic 2013, they had this Planeswalker mode, which was basically the Mario Party equivalent of Magic the Gathering. Right. Because there are these location decks that would flip and random shit happens. Like, everyone that has flying dies. And then all of a sudden you're the winner because you didn't have flying or something like that.
I can understand why people weren't happy with Blitz Planeswalker because some of the stuff it did were like...
I loved it because it was so fucking wacky.
Yeah, it was wacky, but some of the stuff wasn't very well like explained. And sometimes the card would show up for like a split second and then disappear, and then you just have to live with the effects without telling what the hell was going on.
So, right, you have to understand that this is a computer game version of a tabletop card game, a collectible card game, for anybody that doesn't know what Magic the Gathering is. And the timers are still there, Mark. There's no way to turn off the timers.
Oh God.
So okay. in this game, like, okay, you play a card that lets you search through your library and choose any card. And you have 30 seconds to do that, to look through like 50 cards and decide what card you want. And there's no way to turn this timer off. And so that's really dumb. But anyway, so they don't have this Planeswalker mode in the new game, but they added a new game mode. So I don't know what the fuck they're doing with the Magic games, but they really got to step up their game if they even want to be on the same level as Hex, which is this game on Kickstarter that I think we've talked about on the cast before that looks really, really good.
Or Scrolls. It's just
Even Scrolls.
Yeah, they created this physical card game, and they kind of jumped on late with like turning it into something that, because I'm doing it digitally, isn't terribly difficult. I mean, there's a free program that actually does this already. I forget exactly.
And they already have all the cards and all the content and stuff. Yeah.
But the ones that they release in this is like this weird crippled version of the game that no one's happy with because you can't actually create your own decks.
Well, I mean they're banking off the name alone for one, but then also they have a browser based game called just like Magic Online, which is the real thing, and that's probably more of a money sink. But this is a nice simple introduction for people, and I recommend it if you have any interest in kind of board games. And I mean I think I've already put 100 hours into the 2013 edition, and already like 15 in this new one that just came out on I don't know when, Saturday, Friday, something like that.
Right.
Yep. So that's what I've been playing.
Nerds.
Yes, we are nerds. And I also started playing some more Borderlands 2 again with my brother because the new DLC dropped that I want to get to at some point. But my brother and I are working our way through one of the old DLCs right now to kind of get that off the plate first.
Yeah, I need to actually go and play. That was in the season pass, right? Yeah, I feel like I've asked this a million times.
It is actually. The new DLC
is
in the season pass. It is.
Okay, good. Then I should have that.
Yeah, we should play through it because it looks really goofy and fun.
But yeah, the Borderlands 2, that's the last DLC they've announced, right?
I think so. I don't know what they have planned from here on out, but I think it's been pretty good bang for my buck.
I'm probably done with that game after this DLC season. Like, it was a good ride. I don't think I need anymore. Yeah, just go ahead and make Borderlands 3.
Even the new DLC, I mean, the monsters are very clearly just, you know, different models of the same enemies they have. They have the big guys, they have the skinny guys, they have the runners.
Has always been kind of been Borderlands' problem, is that enemy variety isn't great.
Right. The bosses are fun, though. But so that's me. I know you guys have been playing Rogue Legacy, so I'm going to let you guys talk about that now.
Okay. Well, you should stick around so we could talk to you about Rogue Legacy, because you and you listening need to be playing Rogue Legacy.
Well, when you guys should buy it for me.
Hey, what's up, man? Yeah, you should probably take care of that baby.
Look at you, Mark.
I know.
I feel like you are in danger of overhyping Rogue Legacy.
I might be, but maybe I'm not, and maybe I'm underselling Rogue Legacy because maybe it's the best game ever made.
No. It's a fun little game it's filled from top to bottom with really good decisions, and then there's like a decent number of flaws in there.
There's a big problem with it. Like, you see everything you're going to see within the first 2 hours, and then you're playing that game for the next like 20 hours, but it doesn't do anything new. It just
sounds just like Magic the Gathering to me.
Kinda. I don't know, it's like the best level of Castlevania you ever play in your entire life that never ends. And if you're fine playing that for like 20 hours, then this is your video game.
I mean, yeah, but also, it's the kind of thing like, when you're playing a level of Castlevania, our enjoyment you get from that is your memory isn't exactly what's going to happen here and there. And Rogue Legacy, sometimes you'll get really fucked over by the fact that, oh, here's all this stuff that I can't access because I don't happen to have this one trait.
Yeah, and usually one trait is dwarfism.
So here's my next question, though. When you say trait, are those random? Is there any sort of progression or unlockables in this game?
Well, they're unlockables in, like, okay, like, whenever your guy dies, you got like 3 children to choose from the next game. Mm-hmm. Now the traits are always there from the start, like either being like a dwarf or like gigantic or being roided up or being bald or whatever. The things that you unlock are the classes.
And, okay, so there is a reason past high score to keep playing this game.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's this huge like skill tree involved, and you just like throw your gold into the skill tree, it's kind of a problem, though, in like the skill tree is too big and unwieldy and hard to like figure out. And it doesn't really give you a very coherent sense of progression.
It's like the Path of Exile skill tree, if you've ever seen that.
Yeah, sort of like that. It's just huge, and like you like sink points into one thing, and like other things will unlock, and you just really have no idea like which direction you should go. So you wind up just like throwing points into everything. So for like first like few hours, you're just like spending an enormous amount of gold just seeing what's on the tree, and not really having anything close to like a build. So at the end of it, you just like spend money on everything instead of just having like. Of course, the entire thing is you don't have your guy, but you don't have like a strategy, like at all, because you don't know what the points you're spending on.
So, Mark, I need to just interrupt you for one second, just to let you know that Imran is better than you.
That is true.
Imran just gifted me Rogue Legacy.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. I'll get you a different. I can't give you a better game because that's impossible. I'll get you a different game.
No, that's really cool. Imran, thanks, man. Yeah, so Imran just gifted me Rogue Legacy. So, fuck, thanks. Now I'm going to be playing that.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you're screwed.
You have a teething baby. The least I can do is give you Rogue Legacy.
And this is like a very comforting thing to have while your baby is just sitting there screaming.
Yeah, it's like, man. I can pick between three children. I wish I had that. No, I'm just kidding.
I have my suspicions that the reason that castle and that skill tree is so unwieldy and requires so much gold for everything is because I'm betting there's going to be an iPad version down the line that has a coin doubler.
I can see that, but it's not in this version, so it's not really anything to like.
I mean, that's just my guess that like because some stuff costs way too much.
Yeah, and
not enough payoff.
And some of the stuff is like an active detriment. Like you get the dragon class, which is kind of terrible, and like it's at the very top of the castle, and you spend 6,000 gold to unlock. No, 60,000 gold, right? Or is it 6,000?
I don't know. I don't have it.
Yeah, some absurd amount of gold, and like you have to get it, of course, to get the achievement. So
how much is that in bells?
Like 12.
God damn. Animal Crossing got nothing on Rogue Legacy.
It is still a very good game, but I wish you could fight bosses again.
Yeah, that is disappointing.
Like you fight the bosses once, and once you fought them, you're done. And to a new game plus.
Does it have multiplayer deathmatch?
No.
Multiplayer actually, like even leaderboards would have been a nice thing for that game. Like to say how far your friends have gotten in that generation or whatever.
Yeah, that is weird. It's kind of sparse in that way. It's just basically just you and the castle and the skill tree.
Yeah, well, that's cool.
Also, I'm not sure I want to be that guy, but the gay joke is a little weird.
Uh-oh.
Like, so you have traits and you know whatever that sometimes have effects and sometimes don't for each heir, and. Almost every single one of them is like it's an ability that helps you in the game, but they're almost always birth defects or genetic defects, like including balding.
Also, and, a car horn.
Yeah, and then like gay is just one of them.
It's
strange that they grouped it like that.
I saw one of the trailers and I remember one of the traits was like irritable bowel syndrome.
Yeah,
and that like. It's just,
they're almost all like negative things that people would not see as normal or good in a society.
Well, it's also just like this is doofy. Like Jeremy today posted up his look at Unepic,
yeah,
which is this kind of dungeon crawling, but like you're a geek who is playing Dungeons and Dragons and you fell into this world and the humor just seems like just too over the top. Like you know, hey, this is geeks.
And I'll be honest, like, the dialogue keeps me from buying that game.
Yeah.
Seems like it's trying too hard.
Exactly.
It's like, I saw something like the character saying, oh man, I'm so horny. And I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
This is
you can't just have your characters say how they're feeling. That makes me angry.
It's also like, that game does apparently have a thing called Un-English, where the original Spanish developers just translated it themselves. And apparently that version's just way better.
Oh man, I bet. I bet it would be.
Like, the difference is, like, he'll say, I'll hide this behind this candelabra. I hope that bastard from Castlevania doesn't come here. And then, like, the actual quote-unquote good translated version is, I hope that Belmont bastard doesn't come here, which is a lot less funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, seems like he's trying to, like, wink at you. Say, hey, you remember this game thing you like? Well, here it is here.
Yeah, and then the other one is just jumping up and down and waving your arms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to trying out Rogue Legacy because I've been seeing, like I said, my friends list has been made up of like 20 people every night playing it. while I just drivel away in Magic 2014.
Well, now you have to play the game.
I'm going to. I'm going to.
Because you're a jerk if you don't. Now that you've got it, we're going to stop playing. We're just going to play Unepic. Sorry.
That's fine. Yeah, we've all fooled Brian. It's over.
Whatever. I don't get any perks from multiplayer or anything.
You didn't prestige.
I didn't. So is that all you've been playing?
Pretty much. Yes.
Like the entire weekend was spent playing Rogue Legacy. And it's kind of like you get a box of candy and you just eat it all at once and think,
yeah,
that was a great experience, but I feel weird about it afterwards.
I think Rogue Legacy sits on this like really, really teetering on the edge of either being an amazing game that's going to be in my Game of the Year list, or I'm going to play it just 1 minute long enough to say I hate this and I'm done with it forever.
Yeah. But it's going to be on the list regardless of what I think about it, because it's hard to like sink that much time into something and not like put it on the list.
Well, so, I mean, I've put like 100 hours into Magic 2013, and I don't think that's going to be on my list.
That's good. Basically, it just reminds me that Shovel Knight will exist in a couple months.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Yep.
Until then, you can play Deadpool.
Great. Or I could not play Deadpool.
I'm just looking at the Steam store page. It's cruel to that.
Yeah, it just looks like a mediocre, competent enough game, but I don't know.
I don't know. We often said like we need to bring back the B games, and it's $40, but it's one of those games where you like it's $40, and there's a reason that thing costs $40.
I want good B games.
Yeah, I want exactly. Earth Defense Force. I don't want this.
Which is scheduled for February of next year.
Oh God.
Which is too far away because I want it now.
Oh, I also loaded up Binary Domain.
How are you liking that so far?
I think that's a game I'm going to need to play co-op with someone. Otherwise, okay. I'm not going to have a reason to.
We can do something this weekend, maybe.
All right, we'll do it.
Because you should definitely play that
game. Yeah, I want to. I know after you talked about it, I really wanted to. So that would be a cool thing that we should do. Matt?
So post-Xbox,
yeah.
I am now playing Xenoblade Chronicles again.
Freaking Wii!
Hey, it's still running.
Yeah, it's got a point.
But Xenoblade Chronicles is a damn good game. But holy shit, is it long.
Yep. That's one of the big things keeping me away from it. Like, I still really like JRPGs, and that maybe put me in a minority among everybody. But every time I look at one, like, Ni No Kuni was on sale for $20. I'm like, I can't buy this because there's no way I can play another 40-hour JRPG right now.
Well,
is that the download version? I'm sorry, is that the download version or the physical?
That was the retail version.
Oh. Where was that at?
Amazon?
Mm.
So here's the trick with Xenoblade Chronicles that I'm finding recently. Progressing through the story, like certain story events give you EXP. So like if you get through a certain area to another area that like basically leads to a cinematic showing that you're in the next part of the story and you get a bunch of EXP and level up. Like those things give you EXP as well as battles. They give you so much more than battles do though, that grinding is pretty useless. Which I guess is a pretty easy way to like make sure that the game has an even amount of difficulty all the way through. But that does mean that all of those side quests are way easier if you just go back to them later. So you just kind of skip all of the side missions and just keep going forward. But even then, the problem with a game that has such a huge world like that is it takes 20 minutes to walk anywhere.
Yeah. Sounds like
I thought you could just teleport around.
Sounds like you need
can once you get there once.
Okay.
Like you have to get to a place to uncover the landmark, and then you can teleport back it whenever you want.
That's a lot like Skyrim and a lot of other games, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, I haven't really had to backtrack that much.
So you resumed your previous save?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is good, because I still had another hour and a half in that dungeon, and I had one of the reasons I had stopped playing that game and decided to go into Last Story is because I was just tired of that damn dungeon. And I swear to God, that one cave is bigger than all of Remember Me. like physically larger than all of the entire game Remember Me. It's pretty impressive, but also kind of repetitive.
Remember Me.
Like, I'm pretty sure that most of the areas in Xenoblade Chronicle are considerably larger than Tomb Raider. Like, the whole game.
We should do a Remember Me spoiler cast. No.
It's just gonna two of you.
There are spoilers. There are spoilers to go into that spoiler
There
cast.
Are things about that game you can spoil.
Yes, and like pretty big spoilers, too. And well, I guess one of the advantages to a game about like not having memories is that you can keep a lot of stuff from the player.
Yeah.
But it all does also kind of seem to come out of left field at the end.
I was thinking about this myself the other day because I was thinking about, like, I was listening to the Metal Gear Rising soundtrack and I was like, okay, this would be a good song to use for the inevitable Game of the Year video. What, let's say, we're 6 months into the year.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say is your favorite game so far this year?
Is that to everyone or?
Yeah, okay. Anybody.
Oh, jeez.
If you had to make your Game of the Year list right now.
If I had to pick one right now, I think at the top of my list would be Gunpoint.
Is it that good?
Mm-hmm.
What is Gunpoint?
I mean, just compared to other things that have come out this year, but it's also very, very good. It's a 2D stealth-based...
Oh, this is the noir thing.
Detective, yeah. Jumping okay. Through windows, yeah.
Okay. This is something I'll wait for on Steam Cell, that's right. If you put a gun to my head and said I had to pick one, like, right now would probably be The Last of Us, but I really need to play Bioshock Infinite again to really make that decision.
Yeah, I'm probably going to end up playing Bioshock Infinite again as well, just to... Because I don't know how much of that just wowed me because it was that first big game of the year.
Yeah.
But we'll see. What about you, Matt?
I don't know what
Sadly,
else
it's here. It's got to probably be Tomb Raider. mostly because I played a lot of... I've been replaying or finishing up games from last year. And that took me a long way into this year.
Let's be honest. The game of the year thus far is Gran Turismo 6. That's just
well, yes, that is almost certainly going to be my game of the year.
Also, I guess Animal Crossing is on there somewhere.
Yeah, what do you put Animal Crossing in, Ron?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe in the top 10. I know Luigi's Mansion isn't making the top 10, but it's close enough.
Yeah. Okay.
Really? I just got through one mansion in Luigi's Mansion so far, and I think it's really charming, but...
It's too long for its own good.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I want to go start a second mansion.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that attracts me to Luigi's Mansion is, it kind of takes me back to old adventure game days.
Yeah.
Which is nice, but yeah.
My problem with Luigi's Mansion is I'd rather be playing the GameCube one.
Yeah.
Which is downstairs, so I can just pull out at any time.
All right, I need to go find my copy of Mario Sunshine at some point.
I've already slammed it into my Wii. And played a little bit earlier this week.
I have to go on a hunt in Manhattan for a copy of that fucking game. So,
see, and I don't think that... I know that in the next 6 months there's already two or three games I really, really want that aren't going to appear on anybody else's list.
Mm-hmm.
Like Wonderful 101 and Phoenix Wright. Those are games that, like...
Rad as hell.
Like, yeah. Wonderful 101 might be on my list if I had a Wii U at this point in time.
So, I'm sure...
When is Bayonetta 2 coming out?
2014.
Like March-ish? Like, did they give a quarter?
They have not given a quarter. The only thing they've given a quarter to was Mario Kart, which appears to be coming in April.
Mario Golf Game of the Year, whatever year it comes out.
Is that not out yet?
No, it was supposed to come out in August, but it got delayed, I think, to next year, which really sucks.
Oh, that does
suck. So it's a Wii U game.
Pikmin 3 is this year, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's August.
Yeah.
Mario Golf is a 3DS game, Mark.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Mark doesn't get anything right.
Nothing right. I'm the worst. Except for Rogue Legacy, I got that right. Game of the year. Fuck y'all.
Buy the new Magic. If you weren't going to buy Rogue Legacy for me, buy yourself the new Magic so we can play it.
Okay. I will do that for you. I will buy myself a game. Will do that for you.
Thank you, Mark. It's the least you can do. Pro. It's the least you can do.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Night.
Bye.
Bye. We'll see you later.